On this week's Zen Founder, we continue our Founder Origin series with Sherry interviewing Rebecca Gill. Rebecca's a Michigan-based WordPress SEO consultant. She's an educator and an author, as well as the owner of a digital agency for website design and development. And in this episode, Sherry and Rebecca walk through Rebecca's Founder Origin story and look at how it has shaped her both personally and professionally. In a couple of months, Sherry's going to be launching another Zen Tribes coaching group. The first one sold out so quickly that she and Corey from iThemes are already talking about gearing up for the next one. If you have any interest in being in a small online group full of other entrepreneurs who are trying to push their business forward, head over to zenfounder.com, sign up for the mailing list, and we'll be in touch the next time a group has an opening.
We plan to talk through the issues faced by startup founders and the people close to them.
That overused phrase, work-life balance.
It is an amazingly focusing time.
This is what we do, you know, aside from our families, this is our whole work life.
I am also known as Dr. Walling.
We know this is a little bit non-traditional.
A little more zen in the startup life.
Those days were a mental struggle.
I have been stressed in the past, and I know that I will be in the future.
A founder and his or her significant other would both get value from the episode.
So, yeah, maybe let's just begin by you introducing yourself and letting people know a little bit about what your business is.
Okay. Well, my name is Rebecca Gill. I run a Michigan agency that does custom WordPress design and development. And I spend a lot of time working on SEO and educating people on search engine optimization.
So in my head, at least, you're kind of the queen of WordPress. So you spend a lot of time at conferences. You spend a lot of time sort of talking with people about how to run their business as well.
I do. Yes. I like to empower people.
So you're also kind of a teacher and a leader in the WordPress community.
I am told that, although that's not how I would self-describe myself. But yes, I've definitely been told that I'm one of the well-known people and the one that, you know, is constantly being seen.
Yeah. And, you know, I think it's neat to have a variety of different voices that are leading different communities. And even if that's not a title you would give yourself, it's one that you have come into because people are interested in what you're doing and seem to trust you.
Yeah, I tend to stand out because I don't code and I don't design. You know, I don't have graphic design skills or coding skills, and it's more business ownership and internet marketing and SEO. So I bring something different to the table than a lot of the other speakers or, you know, people in WordPress. And the fact that I'm a woman also helps me stand out a little bit too, because it is a sea of men. You know, there are some women, but there's definitely a larger population of men without question. So you tend to stand out.
Yeah, absolutely. I was at a conference last week, a sort of tech oriented conference, and I feel like, I don't know the numbers, but I think it was at least 90% men, which is not uncommon.
No, there was one WordCamp Ann Arbor that we went to, was last year, and I looked around and I was like, holy cow, this is like 60% men and 40% women. And I never normally pay attention to it, but the numbers were so different than the average conference that I go to. I was floored. But yeah, it's just the nature of the industry.
But I think it is really interesting to sort of think about how you got to this place, to be someone who's interested in what you're interested in, who's able to bring the kind of sort of insight and intelligence to the work, but also who's comfortable being, dare I say, like a little bit of an outlier or an oddball in the sea of people who typically, you know, kind of frequent this world.
I think that's because I've always been the outlier. I've never really felt as I've been part of the group. And it wasn't really until I met the WordPress community that I felt like there was people who really got me and that welcomed me and accepted all of my quirks and my, you know, my positive and my negative aspects of my personality. And I'm still an outlier because I don't have the coding and the graphic design skills, but it's different. I'm fully part of it. And it is the first time in my life since I've ever really felt like that, which is a blessing. It's an awesome feeling.
It's great to be part of that community.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk a little bit about you being an outlier. What kind of kid were you? What was your personality like when you were a kid?
Well, contrary to what people would believe in the WordPress community, I was really shy. I stuttered when, you know, as a toddler, when my older sisters would have people over, I would go hide in the closets. I was a slow learner in elementary school. I was in remedial reading in fifth grade. There was so much chaos in my life. I could not get anything together, and which is completely different than what I am now, because I'm, you know, very organized and outspoken, and, you know, I can walk up to anybody in a room and or get up in front of people and hundreds of people and speak. And so it's definitely who I was as a young child and who I am today, completely different for sure.
So it sounds like there's been quite a journey there.
Yes. To the point that at my 20-year high school reunion, everyone walked up to my husband and said, "Dude, when did she become a hugger? She's nothing like she was in high school." I mean, they couldn't believe kind of the transformation that I had gone over, you know, that had happened in the last 20 years since they saw me.
Are there traces of that sort of shy, slower to process little girl that are still part of you?
Oh, for sure. I think there's a huge part of me that is still the poor kid in rural Michigan, wearing the dirtiest shoes, you know, on the basketball team, that can't afford to take her AP test. You know, that's still a huge part of me. And I don't think I'm ever going to lose that. I mean, it's part of how I grew up and, you know, part of what made me today. And, you know, it's just, you just don't lose that influence quickly.
I mean, you're describing some chaos, you're describing some experiences of poverty, or maybe not quite having enough to feel comfortable with your peers. Mm-hmm. Want to say a little bit about what life was like for you as a kid? What was happening around you?
Yeah. So when I was 6 months old, my mom was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, and she at the same time had multiple personalities, and her alternate personalities were not fond of us children. So the combination of that and growing up in that environment, and my dad was a regional sales manager, so he was never home. You know, that was just extremely chaotic. And at age 11, I kind of had enough of it. And I went up for Christmas with my grandparents to Northern Michigan. And I called home on Christmas morning and I said I wasn't coming home. And I meant it. And I became a ward of the state at that point and lived with my grandparents or my aunt, kind of just bounced around and had a village that raised me. But yeah, that was the chaos in which I lived. And thankfully, my later childhood has some good influences with just people around me that definitely helped kind of grow me up into the person that I am today and kind of gave me subtle opportunities to change my path. And it definitely, without question, helped.
But those early years, the first 10 years of your life, it sounds like had a lot of chaos. And, you know, it's just, those are the years that you most need those stable caregivers. And so to have a mother who's very ill on a number of fronts is really, really disruptive.
Yeah, it was. It's funny because I have kids now that are in middle or in late elementary school and high school, and they know things that I just don't. And it drives me crazy. And it's because those formative years in school, in elementary school and middle school, I couldn't do anything. I just couldn't focus and concentrate or show up. And I just missed out on so much. And like, as the adult me is frustrated with that, because it's like, I just realized there's so much I don't know. And don't get me wrong, I am smart. I've got a successful business, but it's like, I just wish that part could get back. And it's, you know, that has altered things, but you just move past it.
Yeah. There's just a knowledge base that when you're six or seven and your mind is so busy trying to survive and sort of figure out how to handle the day, then there's not a lot of cognitive space to learn like the route that Magellan took. And you know, these like fact things.
I did not have any cognitive space. That is a great statement. There was none available. Yeah.
Which is definitely not uncommon among kids who are dealing with crisis or trauma.
Mm-hmm. But we're resilient. I think, you know, the one thing I see in children as, you know, as an adult, that just kids are resilient. And if you give them an opportunity to grow past that and to help move past that and let them heal, I think that they can make huge leaps and bounds. I mean, I'm a good example of that.
Yeah. And the way that you advocated for yourself too, as a young person, to sort of say like, that's not a good space for me and I'm not going back.
And that's exactly what I did. I was just literally having a breakdown and I was like, can't do it. Nope, not going to do it. And I think like through my life, I've had pivot points. And that was a pivot point for me, just to really say, no, I'm done with this. And, you know, we're going to move on. And, you know, the one thing that I thankful about my personality is that I embrace that change. And in that moment of chaos, I can see some clarity and be like, okay, we're shifting past and, you know, we're going to go another route. And I think that that's been definitely an asset to me in life and me as an entrepreneur.
Yeah. I was going to ask, when you think about yourself as an entrepreneur and what you've done with your business over time, have there been moments where you've needed to use that same voice, that voice that says, no, we're not doing this, we're doing something else, or those really clear pivot marks, as you call them?
Well, becoming an entrepreneur was a pivot mark because I did not seek out to become an entrepreneur. I'm the accidental entrepreneur. I just, life events shifted and I needed to survive. And it was the heart of the recession. And I live in the Detroit area and there was no jobs available. So I just had to create something for myself. And that's how I became an entrepreneur. That was definitely a shift for me. And there's been shifts in the business and I'm nothing like super major in the business, but efforts to try to keep us diversified and keep us healthy and not chase the rabbit hole of WordPress and, you know, follow everybody else. You just can't do that.
What was hard about becoming an entrepreneur for you?
Losing the security of a paycheck, for one thing. I've always enjoyed the employment. I guess the biggest thing for me is growing up poor and not, you know, knowing if you're going to have food and, you know, going through college on your own and, you know, not having that security net, having that paycheck was a security net for me. And then once I became an entrepreneur, it was gone, you know, and it's still, even after 8 years, it still bothers me. I would love to have somebody else worry about payroll and receivables and things like that. I think, you know, has been the biggest challenge in the shift.
Oh, that creates a lot of anxiety.
Yes.
Well, I think it creates anxiety in all entrepreneurs, but especially if you come from a place of some scarcity. And I mean, I relate to this too, sort of like, you know what it's like to be hungry or you know what it's like to really not have enough. And
yeah,
so the anxiety is visceral. It's like muscle memory.
You're much more aware of it and the ramifications that occur, you know, when there's not enough there, for sure.
So, I mean, you described your own experience as one of resilience. And it does sound like after you made that transition to, you know, being raised by a village, by leaving your mom and dad's home and moving on to your grandparents and other relatives, were there key people you think at that point that were instrumental in setting you on the path that you've continued now into adulthood?
My grandma, even though she only lived to the time I was 18, she was a huge factor in my life and just really, you know, taught me the difference between right and wrong and ethics and empathy for people and forgiveness. You know, everything that's good about me, I truly believe I got from her. Without question, she shaped my future. I wish she was around today, you know, so she could just see how much of an impact she had on my life. But absolutely her. I mean, there were teachers and you know, friends' parents and like my aunt, my uncle, you know, and lots of aunts and uncles who all gave me a little bit and gave me bits and pieces. And they definitely were all my village. But without question, it was my grandmother. She gave me everything she could, given her own cast that she was dealing with. Which, you know, she had my uncle was dying of a brain cancer and my mom was still sick. And then she got cancer. And it was just you know, she had a lot of chaos going on herself. But what she could give, she definitely gave to me and I soaked it all up. And I'm, like I said, I'm just really thankful for it.
Were there any lessons from her or moments with her that seemed to plant seeds of entrepreneurship in you?
Oh gosh, not so much entrepreneurship, but spunkiness and resilience and not taking crap. You know, it's like, you know, you just, classic example, she broke her leg in the middle of winter. She had a cast on. She decided she didn't like the cast and she took a saw and she just sawed it off and she moved on. So, I mean, that's the classic with my grandmother. And I have that same, would I necessarily saw my cast off? No, but I'm going to like just kind of wipe my hands of things and just move on and, you know that there's a different path, and that's her. She lived through the depression and she instilled that in me.
So there's that, some tenacity.
Yes.
Some like, if something's not going to work, we're not going to spend time like crying about it. We're just going to fix it and go.
Yes. You're going to suck it up and you're going to move on. Yes. That is totally my grandma.
Yeah. I can see that being helpful in business and in entrepreneurship.
Well, it is. I mean, you can sit and boohoo about a bad client or, you know, or a product that you created that didn't sell, or you can just learn your lessons from it and move on and take it forward with you in life. And, you know, and that's what she did. And that's what she taught me to do. And I definitely think that's helped me in business.
Have there been times when that's been hard or in the context of your business, you've thought, well, I really don't know if I can do this anymore? Or
gosh, I think that every week. I think most entrepreneurs probably do. But I can't imagine at this point in life in any other way. I can't imagine going to work for somebody. I could partner with somebody, but I couldn't go fully work for somebody. I don't know, think anymore.
You drank the Kool-Aid, didn't you?
I did drink the Kool-Aid. But you know what I think the biggest thing is I truly enjoy helping people, and the work that we do helps people, you know, and I've learned that through the entrepreneurship, that you know, being an account manager or being an operations manager truly didn't give me that type of satisfaction as teaching somebody a skill set like SEO or, you know, something like that. You just, you feel that reward coming back from them. And I enjoy that.
It sounds like maybe perhaps from your grandmother, for other parts of your life, you have that deep sense of wanting to serve and be of use.
Yes, for sure.
You described having a really different personality as a small child than maybe how you're seen now. Besides your grandmother, were there other things that seemed to really influence that shift from you being more timid or feeling maybe cognitively overwhelmed to being kind of a rock star?
You know, I would tell you it's technology. When I left college and I had my first job, it was a temp job and I was supposed to be there for 3 days. And I was given this ERP software system, which everybody else in the company hated. They just received it. And I was just supposed to do data entry for orders. And they gave me access to the whole thing. They just didn't know what they were doing. And of course, I poked around and I learned it. And I retrained the guy that trained me within like 2 days. And I fell in love with technology. And I realized, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This can change the world. And it empowered me. Right. And that moment for me really changed things for me, you know, from both a personal and a professional aspect of my life, because I realized that I had seen so little of the world and all of this was capable and all of this opportunity existed and technology was kind of a path to get there. And, you know, and I excelled in that position and it was because of my love for that technology and my ability to grasp the software and absorb it. And that was a huge shift for me. And I've never left technology. I've always gravitated towards it because of it.
Something about how your brain works that really seems to respond to technology and enjoy it.
Well, you know, and I hate to say this, but I think I attribute that to my mom and, you know, in her situation and her mental state, having to adapt quickly to potentially other personalities that might be surfacing and being aware of what's going on with her and just being in tune with that. I think that's helped me really grasp and learn software very quickly and just kind of absorb it somehow, just because it shifted the way my mind would normally process things.
That's really fascinating because I also think, or just knowing you a little bit and your role in the community and your role as a business owner, you're also quite astute with observation of humans. So it's sort of a rare combination of skills to be able to grasp technology quickly, technology that doesn't have emotions and, you know, isn't relative, isn't subjective, to be able to do that, but also have the brain space to be able to read emotion and all of that more artistic, less objective part of life.
I enjoy reading people's faces and I enjoy people watching. I can't help it. And to me, like Twitter is the technology version of people watching at the mall. You can just sit back and watch everything happen. And unlike people watching at the mall where you can't hear what they're saying, oh, you can hear it all in Twitter.
All of the back and forth. You can listen in on all of the conversations.
You can. And it's so funny. I always want to jump in sometimes and go, hey, did y'all forget you're on Twitter? We're all seeing this.
We can hear you.
We can hear you.
What are you most proud of these days?
I am proud of the lessons I think that I've taught my children with entrepreneurship. And I didn't really realize it until my son was old enough to play t-ball, or I guess baseball, and we sponsored the team. And they won the championship and he had a trophy and I got this huge trophy because I was a sponsor, and seeing the pride in his eyes, at not just for winning, but the fact that mom's company was the sponsor and it was all wrapped in together. And, you know, he wants to become a coder and he wants to take over the business and he'll sit and watch my presentations recorded, you know, and they're like an hour long and he sits through the Q&A and everything. And he's, you know, 10. That's what I'm proud of, is because I've taught them that there's something better than what I saw as a kid, which was go in the army, work at McDonald's, or maybe go to college. You know, those were your kind of your options. And they see a different world available to them. And I'm proud of that.
Yeah, you're opening the doors to a whole new way of being in the world. Then you knew.
That I knew. And it's funny because their only thought process is, what college am I going to go to and what am I going to major in? There's no decision factor on other options in life. And I guess I've brainwashed them, but you know, I think as a parent, you always want to give your kids better than what you have. And I think I have done that.
I've been really surprised how I think the role of, you know, my husband being an entrepreneur has sort of shaped our family life. There are just some assumptions that we make because of having an entrepreneurial mindset that I think are sort of different than other families that tend to be like, how do we do this ourselves? How do we make this ourselves? How do we kind of take responsibility for our own livelihood in a way that is definitely a shift from the way that I grew up. And I guess I wonder if that, if you're seeing that in your family, like if there's, if the entrepreneurship is sort of spreading.
It is because my husband and I are planning on, you know, moving north in a couple of years, and it's, and while he's going to have the opportunity to retire, it's not like he's going to retire. He's thinking, now what kind of business can I start? And he's already like, just, you know, already thinking that, and the kids are bought in, and the kids are like, what business can we help you start? You know what I mean? It's you definitely change the way that you think, to the point that we've had other people go, yeah, we're not like you. We're not going to be an entrepreneur. That's not us. And we're like, oh, okay. You know, you just kind of tone yourself down because you realize that you're pushing your ideas on them without even realizing you're doing it, because it's so ingrained with who you are. It's hard to separate your personal and your professional life when you're an entrepreneur, I think.
Yeah. And for good and for bad, I think.
Yes.
In some ways, it's very diffuse. You sort of move through these roles easily. I was at a school meeting, and then I'm hopping on a call with you, and then I have a client, and, you know, there's this fluidity to the day that is really nice, but there's some complexity too.
I mean, you may answer an email at 9 o'clock at night or jump on a call with somebody at 9 o'clock at night, not even realizing that you're doing it, because that's just, you know, part of who that you are. And it's kind of intertwined in your life. Yeah. Good and bads.
Hey, why do you think we don't see more women, not necessarily just as entrepreneurs, but sort of being leaders in entrepreneurship?
I honestly don't know, because I have not, except for a few instances, I've really been treated like I'm a woman. You know what I mean? I've rarely been treated like I'm different than the men, and I shouldn't be where I'm at, or I shouldn't be doing the things that I do. It's been very rare. And it's just the opposite. People have been very welcoming. I wish more women would take the leap and do it, because I think that they have a lot to offer, especially, and I'm a little bit biased in this. I think mom entrepreneurs are amazing because they're so used to multitasking. It's just ingrained in who they are, and they can pull off a lot of good stuff because of just their ability to manage 4,000 different tasks at the same time.
Yeah. I get the sense that there are definitely still barriers in the world to, you know, women being as respected as they should be and sort of treated equally. But I kind of wonder about those internal barriers too, the things that women tell themselves about who they are or their lives.
Well, when I first had my daughter, which was my first child, I really struggled the first year with working when she was an infant. And then I realized that I'm a better mom because I'm working. You know, I needed that mental stimulus to keep me balanced and keep me happy and to be a good parent to her. And I think a lot of women might fall underneath that, you know, where we've, and at least this was, you know, this was 15 years ago. I think it's better now with, there's a lot more stay-at-home dads, but back then, I mean, no dad stayed at home, you know, 15 years ago. And that was an emotional struggle for me, and it was a battle. But then once I pushed through it, I'm like, oh no, I'm good. She's good. She's better because I'm, you know, because I'm working.
You know, I think sometimes it's hard for women to value themselves enough to ask the question of, how do I figure out how to be my best self? Or like you did it sort of for your daughter. Like, how do I figure out how to be the best mother? But part of being the best mother meant, like, I need to have like a full brain and a satisfied sort of intellectual and professional life.
And, you know, and I think the other thing was knowing that it was okay for me to look at somebody and say, no, I need to leave this. You know, I've got to go pick my daughter up at daycare. I'm not sacrificing her for this meeting, which has run late. And that was standing up and being an advocate for her and being an advocate for me. And I think that was at first challenging as well. And, you know, difficult for women, you know, when they're in that position. But then once I took the stand, they were like, okay, see you later. We understand. Well, you know, we'll restart this tomorrow morning. And, you know, you just have to find your boundaries and as a woman, and or even if you're a single dad too, and you're responsible as a human. And once you find your boundaries, I think everybody seems to coexist and excel.
I hear that same voice of that 10 or 11 year old that says, like, okay, this isn't working anymore. I'm going.
Yeah.
There she is again.
There she is. She's rearing her head.
she says no. Time's
she says
done.
No. Yes. I'm good at saying no.
Which is a good skill.
Especially as an entrepreneur, because otherwise you can get sucked into a lot of stuff that leads you astray.
Yeah, there's a lot of distractions.
Yeah.
What are you learning right now? What's occupying your brain as you think about your own growth as an entrepreneur? So we've sort of talked about the past, and I guess I'm shifting a little bit to, like, not necessarily where you're going to be in 5 years, but what's shaping you right now?
You know, I would tell you, I'm trying to struggle with the notion of people telling you as an entrepreneur, you have to continue to grow and, you know, grow the business, grow your revenue, to pulling back and going, you know what? I really don't need to grow the business. I really don't need to grow the revenue. You know, I'm happy. We're doing good work and trying to find that balance. And it's not work-life balance. It's professional balance with what's right for the business, what's right for the our employees, me. That's what I'm working on, is to really trying to find that middle ground right now and kind of level ourselves out and focus us, you know, because the WordPress community is in shift. It's been in shift as it's grown and it's taken over more and more of the internet. There's just a ton of freelancers coming in, and you know, like we have a theme store, but there's so many themes available and such saturation, you know, and it's just trying to find balance between the products and the services. And again, that outward push to grow and the internal realization that maybe that's not best for the organization and we're good just like we are.
Yeah. Being wise about listening to what stability your company needs to.
Yes. And it's, you know, when I go to WordCamps, I hear freelancers have that outward push coming at them saying, you know, you need to start an agency and grow employees. And I just will kind of look at them and go, okay, can I just ask you something? What makes you happy? And when they say what makes them happy, it's like, but if you're running an agency, now you're worrying about payroll and receivables and HR issues. And is that going to make you happy? And they just kind of look at me and go, well, no. And it's like, okay, well then beware of what you're having, you know, pushed at you with growth and with agency life, and, you know, decide if that's really going to make you happy, because I don't want you to do what I did. And it's not that I'm not happy, but, you know, because I did get that push and I did fall into it. And, I try to caution people. I'm like, if that's what you want, power on. You can do it. I have full faith in you. But make sure that that is truly what you seek and what will fulfill you, you know, long term. Because that's the nature of our industry and probably entrepreneurship in general.
Right. Is this pressure to keep expanding, which is not always the right move for every human or every business.
No, I think there's a lot of people that are good freelancers that are happy freelancers and that probably should stay happy freelancers, because they'll realize that, like, you know, they don't want to do payroll. They don't want to deal with taxes and everything else that comes along with it.
Right. They're already happy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's been really good to sort of talk with you and sort of hear this journey that you've been on from kind of chaos to stability and just all of the tenacity but also kindness that you've embodied over time. And I think hearing you talk about your grandmother and just the values that she taught you and the sort of badass strength that she taught you, those seem to be still very much part of what you do and what you're about in your business.
They are. And I'm very, you know, I talk about the push and growth and things like that for an entrepreneur. I am always very thankful for the opportunity that I've been given with the business and with the community and my role in the community. And I feel blessed. You know, I mean, we all have good days and bad days, but the bottom line is every day I feel blessed.
That's a good way to live.
Yes, it is.
So if people are curious about learning more about you or just sort of either having a great female speaker at a tech conference, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you or follow you online?
You can just visit my website, my personal website, which is RebeccaGill.com, and that will lead to all of our other web properties and contact information.
Cool. We'll put that in the show notes so people can track you down if they want to.
Wonderful.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Zen Founder. Our theme song is A New Beginning by bensound.com, used under Creative Commons.